So this whole entire month, last month and now this month, we are in a series called Unshakable. One of the things that grieves my heart as a pastor is that I see believers that have been following Christ for many, many years fall to circumstances all the time. Their faith is shaken every time they turn, every time they turn around. Every mountain that they face, every molehill they have to jump over, they're constantly shaken to their core because their beliefs have not been the bedrock of their lives. They have been ruled by circumstances. They've been driven by their emotions and by what they see. And so the reason why I'm doing this, and I do this every year, I just rename it, all right? And so we go over 16 things that we absolutely 100% believe. And if you are a member of New Freedom Church, I went over these 16 things with you. They are part of our Assembly of God doctrine. They haven't changed in over 100 years the Assemblies of God has been around. And the reason why they haven't changed is because they're not based on tradition. They're not just based on a good book somebody read, but they're biblically based. And so they never change. And so we've talked about the power of the Word of God. We talked about Jesus and Him being the one true God. Today we're talking about that healing is still for today. Can I get an amen this morning? I don't know about you, but the same God that flung the heavens into existence, that told the earth to form, right, that spoke breath into our lungs, is still able and capable of healing our mortal bodies. Not just our mortal bodies, but healing our minds and our spirit, our soul, and our lives. He heals every aspect. The thing about Jesus is that He doesn't just put a Band-Aid over it. He doesn't just try to manipulate it and shift things. He makes all things new. He brings something that was dead back to life. He brings it newness of life. And I thank God that I was once dead, but now I am alive through Christ Jesus. The old Jimmy McDonald is dead and gone. And behold, what you see here today is not because I made this, but God orchestrated something out of nothing. And I thank God that He is still in the healing business today. Amen. So with that, let's pray. Father, I thank You that You are a healing God and that You still heal our mortal bodies. You still heal our minds. You still heal our spirit and our broken hearts. And Father, today, I pray that You, through the preaching of Your Word, begin to heal people as I preach Your Word. Father, that before any hands are laid on, that You would begin the healing process now. So, Father, I thank You for Your anointing, both on me and upon each person in this room. Bring healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Isaiah 53, verse 5 this morning. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Here it is in the Old Testament, all right? But He was pierced for our transgressions. Who is the scripture talking about when He says He? Just go ahead and say it. Jesus. Now, notice that Jesus was not born yet, all right? This is prophetic, okay? So, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are presently healed. Amen? So, church, I've got good news for you today. It is God's will for you to enjoy the benefits of divine healing today, this instant, without hesitation, right now, at this moment. Amen? Sickness and death come into humanity because of what? Because of the fall, because of sin. And I don't want to oversimplify it, and I don't want to imply that if you were dealing with sickness, you were somehow in sin, all right? If we believe the Bible from cover to cover, then we also believe that through the tragedy of the fall in the Garden of Eden, sin and death passed on to everyone, all right? So Romans 5:12 says this, and just follow along up on the board. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and this way death came to all people, because all sinned. Okay, so the Bible also teaches that death is considered a curse. Even the Apostle Paul taught that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So we also need to be careful not to make the mistake of assuming that all sickness, every death is a direct consequence of sin. Okay? So let me give you an example. So Jesus was walking along with his disciples in John chapter 9. And the disciples saw this blind man. All right? Do I have one of the kids from Kids Church? You want to come up just for a second? Anybody? Volunteers? You guys? All right, come on. Everybody raise your hand. Come on up. If you want to hurry up, come on. All right, so here we are. Okay, ladies, would you take your glasses off? All right, awesome. Now, I was going to bring some dirt in here, all right, but I'm not going to do that. But Jesus is walking along with his disciples one day. He sees this blind man, all right, and this is what happened. Now, to me, the cleaner way would be just to walk up to the blind man, touch him on the shoulder. Don't even say who it is, just touch him and say, be healed, and leave, right? But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus did this. He reached down in the dirt, all right? You guys play in the dirt? Do you play in the dirt? Do you play in the... Come on! You play in the dirt. All right. Any other kid that plays in the dirt? All right. You play in the dirt too? You play in the dirt? Come on up here. All right, so Jesus is walking along, okay, and you guys are just hanging out. You're playing with your trucks in the dirt, right? Just, you guys still play with trucks and stuff in the dirt? You don't? You do. All right. So here's the thing. Jesus is just coming along, and all of a sudden, he bends down, and this guy can't see anything. You guys can't see anything, all right? So what happens is he kneels down in the dirt, picks up the dirt in his hands, okay? And he does this. You ready? Everybody do this. Go ahead and spit in your hands. I'm just kidding. Don't really spit in your hands. And so he makes this muddy snot ball. And he walks up to the guy. And he takes this muddy snot ball. And he does this. He puts it in everybody's eyes, in this person's eyes, just like this. And then he has the audacity, Jesus has the audacity to say, can you see? That's insulting, right? I don't know if Jesus went before, but I choose to believe that's what he did. That's the Jesus I serve. I don't know what kind of Jesus you serve, but the kind of Jesus I serve does that, all right? And so all of a sudden the guy goes, I see kind of people maybe, but they look like trees sort of. And he said, why don't you go wash into the river and then come back and tell me what you see. And all of a sudden he goes down to the river and he wipes that dusty, snotty dirt ball out of his eyes. And all of a sudden, for the first time in his life, he can see. Isn't that amazing? Now to me, you would think that Jesus would just go, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed. Or just go, receive your sight. But whatever conceived in our Savior's mind to get dirt, spit in it, and wipe it on this guy's eyes, I don't know, but it excites me, right? It excites me. And so that's what happened. Everybody give them a hand. They did a great job. But this is what happens. And so we see in chapter 9, a disciple saw a blind man, and they ask him this question. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his lifetime. So until Jesus returns, humanity will continue to deal with the suffering and sickness and disease that this world has to offer. But I know a God who not only died for our sins, but also made a way for our healing as well. And that God is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible calls him in Exodus 15:26, the great physician. Isaiah 53:5 says this, "But he was again pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." It is God's nature to heal. It is God's nature to bring life. Amen? So there is no disease that he cannot heal. There is no sickness or infirmity that he cannot raise up and bring newness of life. We see in Matthew 8:16, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all of the sick. And again in Acts 5:16, it says, "Crowds gathered also from the town around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed." Now, I know some of you may be tempted to saying, "Well, all that is well and good for the Son of God and his disciples, but this is today, Pastor. This is today." Follow me to the book of John. John chapter 14, verse 12. And I want, at least on your phones, I at least want you to look it up so that way you can refer to it again later. One of the saddest things people can say to me is that healing went out with the disciples. When the last one went out, healing stopped. I don't know about you, but that's not the God I serve. That is not the God I serve. And so here in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, everybody say, Jesus said. Not a historian, not a prophet, not a pastor, but say it with me, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me," now let's stop right there, who in this place has put their faith in Jesus this morning? Raise your hand, all right? If you haven't, you're going to have a chance this morning to put your faith in Jesus, all right? But it says, "Very, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Okay, so the book of Mark, just before Jesus goes up into heaven, he says something very astonishing. Listen to what he said. "These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will place their hands on the sick and they will recover." This authority that he gave to the believers has not been rescinded. It is for today. Can I get an amen in this church? It is for the here and now. And notice what it says. I love this. It says, "These signs will accompany those who believe." Raise your hand if you're a believer this morning. Amen. Then what does that mean? That means that you are qualified when your babies are sick to go into your cupboards, get the olive oil out, all right? Put that on your hand, anoint your babies, and the prayer of faith will make them whole. You don't need to call me as your pastor. You, as a believer, have the signs following you everywhere you go. That means that if you're in Walmart and you're in the grocery side of things and you see a friend you hadn't seen in a long time and you see that there's something going on in their life and you're like, "What's going on?" "Well, I've been dealing with this sickness and it's just really got a hold on me and I can't seem to shake it." Then I pray that you're next to the olive oil so that you can grab it, put it in your basket, open it up, anoint your friend, and let the prayer of faith make them whole. Don't look at me like that. Y'all ain't lived until you pray for somebody at Walmart. Come on now. "These signs will accompany those that believe," them that believe. You are the them that believe the Word of God is talking about. Signs shall follow you. It will be this kind of a glory cloud that is over your head that has landed on your face that has affected every part of your life. Now that means that even in your weakest day, You can still pray the prayer of faith over somebody and expect that God will heal them, that God will come through for them. Case in point, in our small group just a few months ago, we're praying over, who are we praying over? Dana, are you in here? Kayla. Was she dealing with her back? Long time back issues. Just, it was a big, big deal. And so she, every time we end a small group, we always stand up. And then we gather in a circle, and whoever needs prayer steps into that circle. We lay hands on you, and we pray the prayer of faith, and that's it. And we let God do his thing. And so Kayla stepped in the circle. She said, I've just really been dealing with back issues for a long time. So we prayed over her, prayed the prayer of faith, and what happened after that? The next day she woke up completely pain-free. Completely pain-free. Hey, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I love studying the Word of God, but I love seeing it demonstrated. Amen? I love to see the Word of God come alive through our prayers. And so we see that healing isn't just for a special class of people or for the professional pastor, but it's for each and every believer, that signs and wonders will follow you. I love that. I love to hear the prophetic voice and people in the church. If you have a prophetic word on a Sunday morning, don't keep that to yourself. Come and tell me. Come and tell Pastor Johnny so that we can give proper honor to the Word of God, because he is trying to speak to us. Some of you guys know who I'm talking about. You're white knuckling it. You know, you're like, I know God's speaking to me. I know God's wanting to say something. Just do it by faith. That is the signs that accompany those that believe. Amen? So I don't want you to miss this portion of Scripture here, all right? That in James 5:14, verse 15, turn with me there. There's guidelines concerning healing. And here it is. It says, is when they're concerning a gathering, all right, like here on Sunday mornings. It says, is anyone sick among you? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Now, I don't want you to miss this. This portion of Scripture in James is telling us that we do not have to go to some kind of healing conference or a website or somebody that has a ministry in healing to receive your healing. That you can call forth the elders of the church on a Sunday morning to anoint you with the oil, and the prayer of faith will raise them, or the Lord will raise them up. And so the prayer of faith speaks to the conditions necessary for receiving healing. And this occurs right here in the local church. So when we come to church on a Sunday morning, it shouldn't be just this automatic thing where we wake up at 8 o'clock, some of us at 8:45, and get here at 9:15. You know who you are. And then just think, okay, we're going to have three songs, we're going to greet each other, pastor's going to preach a message, and then, you know, we're going to go home. But when we come into the church, when we come into this building, the church has arrived. All of us are the bride of Christ. We are the church, the living, breathing body of Christ. And so when we come in, there is an expectation of miracles. Amen? There's an expectation of the miraculous happening. There's an expectation that we will be changed by the Word of God, will be impacted by the singing and worship of the Lord, and that we will be encouraged by the fellowship of one another. All of those things happening at the same time creates a miracle ground for miracles to happen while we're together believing for healing for one another. And it's not just about our bodies, it's about our lives, it's about our spirit, it's about our mind and our heart. The totality of who we are, God cares for. Amen? So this morning, I want to just go over a couple things with you. There's a, as I was studying for this message this morning, I added a little bit. Sunday mornings, I sit down in my chair and I just start messing with my message again. And I'll take out all the various typos there are, because that's not of God, all right? It brings confusion when I'm trying to speak to you. And so I just allow the Holy Spirit just to continue to speak to my heart, and so I tweak it here and there. And one of the things I read this morning, how many guys are familiar with C.S. Lewis? If you're not familiar with C.S. Lewis, he is a prolific author that God spoke through powerfully. Let's see, there are a couple of movies that are out that went out like 10 years ago or so called Chronicles of Narnia. How many of you guys have seen that? Read those books. He is the author of those books. And he wrote this in a book called The Problem of Pain. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I love that. We may not understand it at the time, but sometimes God desires to do more than just heal our bodies. Often in his infinite wisdom, God will use our suffering to develop our character and produce spiritual growth in us. So if you're praying and you're laying hands on yourself and you've used half the olive oil in your kitchen and half the anointing oil in the church, know this, that God is not sleeping when you pray. He's not ignoring your prayers of faith. But know this, that if that healing has been delayed, then God is at work behind the scenes doing something powerfully through what we call delays. That sometimes he's working in our character. Sometimes he is working in our intentions. Sometimes he's working in our pride, bringing us down low so that we can hear him yet again. Because C.S. Lewis says that pain, it's like a megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I don't know about you, but when I'm in pain, it's got my attention, right? My dad, all of you guys know his testimony. I've said it many times, but my dad, toward the end of his life, he said, I just got to believe that God has a plan for all of this suffering. Now, when he's saying this, he has wasted away to probably about 90 pounds. He is yellow as yellow could be. Even the whites of his eyes are yellow. And he said, I've got to believe that God has a plan for all of this suffering. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I believe he has a plan. And I said, Dad, I can tell you what that is. And I said, you have raised kids that are now adults, and you have demonstrated how a man of God goes through a long period of adversity. You have given God glory every step of the way. Now, does that mean that my dad got up every morning going, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done to me? No, he didn't do that. My dad suffered from depression. He thought many times about how in the world, what's my worth? How many of you guys have ever been through prolonged sickness and you started thinking some of those things? Maybe you're in that situation right now and you're contemplating your worth. Know this, that the God you serve has not abandoned you, nor is he lax on coming through for you. But the God that we serve has a plan, and that plan is for his glory and for your benefit. So if God is lingering, then know that he is in the midst of doing something in your life. So allow your life to reflect the glory of God, even in your weakness, even in your sickness, give God glory. Even in your pain, give him shouts of praise. Let your family see how to worship God and say he is good in the midst of pain. Some of the richest presence I have ever felt in my life has been in the places of darkness, in the places of pain, in the place of anguish in my heart. But the sweetest, most tangible time I've ever had in my life has been in the darkest. We are never promised that we would be sheltered from trouble. Remember, Jesus said, trouble will come, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You can take that to the bank. He is fighting for you. Ask God as you pray for your healing that His higher purpose, what His higher purpose is. And if He doesn't tell you immediately, just say, thank you, God, that it's coming. And in the midst, in my waiting, I give you praise. I give you glory, and I give you honor. Amen? Amen? Because He is trying to accomplish through you far greater things than you could ever even imagine. And listen, the Apostle Paul says this. We all know that and heard and read about the Apostle Paul and his background and his writings in the New Testament. Very familiar with all of that. But did you know that he was afflicted with sickness? And that all of his ministry, he was a sick guy. And Paul said, he wrote about it, and he said, listen, three times. I can't believe it was just three times. But in this instance, maybe it was three times he prayed that day. Three times I've asked God to take this thorn in the flesh, this sickness away from me, and yet he didn't do it. Paul goes on to say, look, I know what it is to be in health. I know what it is to be in sickness and in to be well fed and to be hungry, to be naked and well clothed. He said, I have learned that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? We need to throw away the mantra that says that we can only do things for God, the great things for God on the mountaintops, when we feel good, when we got health in our body, when we got provision in our life. But God can do His most powerful work in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering, if we will stop complaining and give Him praise. Amen. Trust Him. Trust His hand. Trust that it's steady and not shaking, trying to figure out what to do with you. Trust that His eyes are on you. Trust that if you're struggling with your mind and feeling worthless or feeling abandoned, or if your heart is broken because of something you've been praying about and it seems like God is not coming through for you, trust His plan. Hold fast. He is working behind the scenes. Know that His plan is for your good and not your harm. Know that He has a plan and a future for you if you'll just hold firm. Amen? There is more on the line than just our healing. There's more on the line than just making us feel better. God wants to heal not just us physically, but every area of our lives. And last week I talked about sanctification. Remember that 14-letter word, right? How that we are in the process, and our healing is in the process as well. We can't see it sometimes because it's clouded by pain. We can't conceive it sometimes because our mind is telling us that we don't have worth or that He'll never come through. Even the closest ones next to us said, why are you still praying about this? God apparently is not going to heal you. There's some kind of sin in your life. Now, don't get me wrong. There are sicknesses. There are things that we bring upon ourselves that is a direct result of sin. But not all sin or sickness is a direct result because some sin that you've done. Sickness happens to all of us. You know, in the last 6 or 7 months of my life has been chaotic because of the death of my stepfather in January. My mother being very, very ill. All of these many months. 3 days ago, my first cousin, Brandy, She's 40 years old. Her husband is 41 years old. He was in his house on his day off. He just got through mowing the yard, weed eating, took a shower, played around with his kids. Kids is 13 and 9, I believe. He sat down in his chair, and the dog hopped up on his lap, and he's wrestling around with his dog, playing, and all of a sudden, he completely goes limp. Instantaneously, took from the face of the earth. He died in front of his girls last Thursday. His oldest daughter tried to perform CPR on her dad. Can you imagine the scene in their house? 41 years old and taken just like that. Church, we are not promised tomorrow. We are not promised a good day today. And if you're judging God upon how happy he makes you, then you're forever going to be disappointed. God's not concerned about your happiness. I know that. Find it in the scriptures for me, would you? God is concerned about making his glory known, even in your sickness, even in your worst day. God is there. He is ready to heal and restore. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? When we have done our part, when we have prayed, when we have believed, we need to step back and allow God to do the rest. Right? Even Jesus didn't perform many miracles in an atmosphere of unbelief, but the provision for healing, that's available for us here today. At this very moment, what you're dealing with, what you're suffering through, God can meet you where you are. In an instant, he can bring healing. In an instant, he can change your life. Sometimes we have to humbly admit that we don't have all the answers and that we are in desperate need of him. I want to read the last portion of scripture, and then I'm going to call for those that are sick among us to come, or people that you know, or whatever you're going through, to come, and we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to pray the prayer of faith. Isaiah 53, verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Present tense, this moment, are healed. So this morning, without any bowing of heads, without any major pleas, if there's anyone sick among us, we want you to come forth, and we want to pray the prayer of faith and let God do what he does. Amen? So if you're dealing with any sickness in your body, you've been struggling, I want you to come now, and we want to lay hands on you, and we want to pray. Pastor Johnny, would you come up with me and help me? All right, yep. All right, so we're going to open up the altars. If you need prayer, somebody you know needs prayer, come now, and let us pray for you. How can we stand still knowing what we know now? Let's come. Father, I come before you right now, and I just have my cousin Brandy on my heart so strong. Father, she lost her husband in an instant, in a moment. Father, as they're going to be doing the funeral in 2.5 hours, I ask God that you would be with her and their two daughters. I pray, Father, that you would comfort them. Your word says that you are close and near to the brokenhearted. And I ask, Father, that you would bind up their wounds, Lord, in the midst of their grieving, Lord, would you be their peace? Will you be their hiding place, their safe place that they can run to, Lord? I ask, Father, that Brandy would lead the way, and Father, you would speak to her so that she can speak life into her daughters. Be with them as they grieve over the loss of her husband and those two girls, over the loss of their dad. My Lord, would you just bring your rest and your comfort? And Father, I just pronounce a blessing upon each and every person that is in this room and this building right now. Would you just grab your neighbor's hand? Maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your friend next to you. And would you just pronounce a blessing over them? You don't have to elaborately pray over them. Dads, bless your kids this morning. Bless your families. Lead the way this morning. Pray over them. Lord, we just bless our families today. I bless this person beside me today. God, may they realize how precious they are in your sight, and that your plan is for their good and not their harm. And Father, we thank you that you were working behind the scenes, and that you are fulfilling a far greater plan than they could ever imagine. And so I bless them today. I ask, Father, that everything they put their hands to, that it would prosper. The Lord, that you would shore up their ground, their feet on shaky ground, that the joy of the Lord would be their strength as they go. So, Father, I pronounce a blessing upon my neighbor. I pronounce a blessing upon that individual that I am holding their hands. I bless them in the name of the Lord. Father, may we leave today knowing that you are in control and that you've got this. So, Lord, I take my helping hands away, and I pray the prayer of faith, and I step back in peace knowing you've got this. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give God some glory this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That was a timely song. That was fantastic. So listen, just want to encourage you guys. God's got this. And that whatever you're going through, whatever you need healing in, He is far greater than anything that we can ever ask of. All right? He is far bigger. And that we know that when we pray, He activates on our behalf. Amen? Amen. Amen. Listen, God bless you guys. You are dismissed.